Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, profits become easy. Well, hello, everybody. This is Brian McAvoy with a new episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. I'm excited today to be interviewing Jeff Beamer, EWO Trader. Jeff, thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Hey, great to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad you're here, man. For those of you not already familiar with him, Jeffrey is a professional fund manager and trader boasting over 37 years in finance industry. His journey began early, obtaining securities licenses at 19, leading to tenure at Fidelity Investments. He then founded and led various hedge funds, mutual funds, and investment advisory firms. Jeff's insights have been featured on CNBC, and he's been a guest on CBS's The Educated Investor. Active in the trading community, he's held leadership roles in associations like the Security Traders Association, and Jeff's dedicated to sharing knowledge. Jeff's dedication to sharing knowledge underscores his value to a larger audience of traders eager to learn from his experience. Jeff, thanks again for being here.
Hey, great to be here, Brian.
So you started early at 19. What really prompted you to go? You weren't even legal to drink then. What prompted you to get your securities license?
Well, a neighbor's parent. It was take your kid to work day, and his kid didn't want to go, so I went with him. And it happened to be. He happened to be in the finance industry, and I saw a bunch of people that were just literally yelling and screaming at each other. And there were a few rules I couldn't ask. And, we went through there. Learned a little bit about the business, and I got out of that day thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. I want to be here. And that began the journey. So, that's how I got started. I, gained a couple of security licenses before I turned 20, and then we were off with a bang. And I was living pretty nicely until 1987, and that was my first big lesson in October of 1987, was when I really learned about being over leveraged and undercapitalized.
Well, so were you trading your own money, or were you working at Fidelity, right?
No, not yet. Fidelity came afterwards because I pretty much, as I mentioned, was over leveraged trading stocks and, on margin and using leverage, not really being responsible and knowing how to use it. And 87 came along and really knocked me down. And my mentor just pretty much said, hey, welcome to the club, get back on the horse. And I decided to do it more conservatively and was hired by Fidelity and spent 13 years there. And then when I left Fidelity, it was really because I was trading a lot on my own in my own personal account. Mm-hmm. And there were opportunities that presented themselves that I went to pursue. And right after I left, not too long after I left, I met a local businessman who happened to be extremely wealthy. And it was at just a random breakfast I got invited to. And we just started talking, and I had zero interest in managing other people's money at the time. Wow. And he wanted me to manage his account. And I was not prepared to do that. And I put up all these hurdles, and he jumped over the hurdles, and that began a career. Then the next phase of my career, which was managing money for others. Progressive.
So were you in college at the time, or were you just kind of out of high school and working and looking for something to do, and you just happened to find trading?
Yeah, I went to college and but worked as well. In my area, it was pretty easy to commute and then go to your job, which a lot of people did. Huh. My experience, after 87 and I kind of got back on the horse, that's when I really started to develop my specialty in the options space. because I didn't have much money and I needed a leveraged instrument, but I needed a leveraged instrument that had some defined risk to it. And options just turned out perfect for me. So that began my options career. And really for the next decade, I perfected my my skill in different strategies. And the timing was literally, the timing was almost perfect that I left, transitioned out of Fidelity and then went into managing money and utilizing a lot of the strategies. And at the same time, I had met a couple of other people from the options industry, and they had asked me if I wanted to, you know, to teach, because I had now 20 years of experience and in options, you know, 15 years of experience in options. And at first I was a little hesitant, but then I learned really quickly that teaching people how to trade and how to trade options, it made me a better trader. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, there's an old saying that that people that do and people that don't teach. Mm-hmm. And I did not have that experience. I actually doing it, teaching is what made me a better trader. I was more tuned in. I was more zeroed in and always looking for fresh information. So
yeah. No, part of the reason I laugh, and this just came up the other day in conversation with one of my sons, because he was all upset about, you know, some of the bad experience he's had with mentors and teachers along the way. Mm-hmm. And that phrase came up, and I started laughing. He's like, "Well, what's so funny about that, Dad?" I'm like, "If you think about it, that's such a stupid saying, because if that's true, then by default, everybody who teaches is incompetent."
Right. Well,
which is not the case.
You know, it's not. And you know, interesting though, the cycle of that we've had in, you know, our industry with those that have been in the industry and then those that came from education and tried to enter our industry, you know, there has been some very interesting results up to that. So,
Yeah. Well, actually it's funny you bring that up, because I mean, my degree was engineering. And it was so funny, because my senior year, we had this one instructor come in, new instructor from outside academia. And this guy was like super popular, super fun. But one thing that everybody took note of, like super fast, it's like, wow, yeah, you know, we just got used to learning from professors that had spent their entire life and careers in college. Mm-hmm. This guy actually went out in the working world for 25 years, and now he's come back to teach. And the stuff that he taught and the experiences that he shared and the perspectives that he shared were so refreshingly different. Mm-hmm. And it was just hilarious, because, I mean, he was even making up some classes. He was making up the names and the curriculums just so he could teach us the real world stuff that none of the other instructors had ever even been exposed to. Mm-hmm. That came in real handy when you're trying to do like real engineering work.
Right. And, you know, coming, you know, working, then developing my first hedge fund, and then learning some of the systems that hedge funds do use and have the advantage of using, and going down that path. Really, in the teaching world, there were two groups of instructors. There were former market makers, and then there were those of us that were off-floor traders. And I've always been an off-floor trader. But the funny thing is that market makers typically would teach people how to trade like a market maker. And the problem with that was they weren't trading on the floor and didn't have that advantage of, you know, trading with the bid-ask spread, so to speak. And we, you know, that's where I felt I had a little advantage, was really showing people how to trade from a computer screen and being off floor and away from, you know, away from the pit.
Well, for those that are listening that aren't familiar with the term market maker, what does that actually mean?
Well, market makers are, you know, their job is to make market. So when an order comes in, their job is to match that ticket with, you know, the other side. And, you know, when as a money manager, then I'm dealing with larger lots of either stock or options. And I need then a facilitator to find the other side of the transaction for me. So, you know, that's where a market maker, you know, comes to play, and that's how they, you know, they make markets. And now that's done mostly electronically, that pairing, but there still are a few pits around. So,
okay. Cool. Well, so what did you see as the advantage to being an off-floor trader, as you put it?
Well, we have to look for our edge in different places. Okay. And so, you know, there is that efficient market theory that is out there. And every now and then the efficient market becomes a little bit insufficient. And we look for those little, little advantages to give us a better place to trade from. Now, really, there were three things that made trading today a lot easier for people. First of all, was technology. Okay. When I started, I literally hand drew charts, and that's how I became really a charting technician, was because I drew candles and I didn't know much about what I was doing, and then read and learned and was taught by people that, you know, what different candle formations were, and, you know, progressed that way. And then finally technology started coming in and I didn't have to draw my charts anymore. So, you know,
that's huge.
That was one. And then the narrowing of the bid-ask spread. We used to, the spread on, for example, on options used to be dollars wide and multiple tens of dollars wide. Now they're pennies wide. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped with people who want to trade themselves. And then finally commissions. And commissions just collapsed. My first option trade on a commodity was $75 one contract one way. And that was a long time ago. And now I pay pennies for an option trade.
Oh, so, yeah. The commission structure, huge. I'm thrilled to hear that yours was just 75. My first one starting out was $200.
Oh, really?
Hard to make money.
Well, it is, you know, and you know, maybe the difference is I learned to ask early on with my brokers about their commissions and negotiate. Yeah. And really it came down to how I trade and the volume I trade and that sort of thing. And, you know, everything's negotiable, including our commissions. So always ask.
Now, so you were working with candles. At what point did you become big into the Elliott Wave? Because that's like one of the main things of the EWO trader is Elliott Wave, correct?
Well, it is. And Elliott Wave, just the flow of the market, okay? The fear and the greed in the marketplace and the patterns that exist, I saw just replicating themselves over and over and over again. Now, a lot of people, when they begin to learn Elliott and Elliott Wave trading, always focus on the five wave pattern. Mm-hmm. But really, there is what we call a lot of ABC patterns embedded in that, meaning chop, market mm-hmm. moving up and down. So from point A to B and B to C, and then repeats and just kind of a choppy sideways or even slightly upward or slightly downward on a chart. And it's not that perfect 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pattern that you saw in a book. And so a lot of people get a little confused, and then the wave count might change. And that's, you know, I've always found early on that when the wave count changes, that's actually a good thing for me, because I've caught a trend usually. Mm-hmm. Okay. So without going into too much down that rabbit hole of Elliott Wave trading, it just, the patterns do change. And sometimes most of the time, that's a good thing, because that means you caught the right side of the market that you're trading.
Okay. Well, briefly, again, for those not real familiar with Elliott Wave, and I want to make sure everybody's clear on this, because Elliott Wave actually is very cool and it can be used very effectively. Mm-hmm. I mean, the basic theory on Elliott Wave is you've got a five point or five, yeah, it's five point, four legs, right? There's five legs.
Five legs, yeah.
Five legs that are a kind of a standard, for lack of a better way of describing it, kind of a response pattern in the markets that will typically play out. There's a certain series of things going on emotionally in the markets. You mind giving us just like a real quick overview of, you know, like the traditional, you know, five Elliott wave legs?
Sure. So wave one is the initial impulse pattern. Market begins to move. Let's say it's starting to move up. It's okay. Been consolidating for a little while and it starts to move up. And then there's a little bit of retracement. Market begins to pull back. Nothing violent, just a normal, orderly little pullback. And then we begin the next leg up. The market makes a new high. It continues to push higher. Well, that little pattern right there then gets labeled as the initial push is a one, then the pullback is a two, and now we're in wave three. And it deals with a lot of measurements such as Fibonacci, and there's a lot of math behind a lot of those calculations, but we're thankful for technology and computer systems that allow us to do these calculations very easily. And for programs like EvoTrader, where we you know, have the Elliott wave calculations calculated automatically. So here's what I was referring to a moment ago. We're in that wave three, and the wave three is the longest, strongest wave. And it's often the most difficult to trade or to catch. So what we wait for is that next pullback. That next pullback occurs, and that would be labeled eventually a wave four. And then we get the last push. Now, in wave three, it used to be taught that that's when the institutions started getting involved in a stock, okay? That the big money started flowing in. And then you had a little bit of profit taking. That would be the four. And lastly, that fifth and final wave are the retail traders. Hey, we have finally figured out that, oh, this stock is a big bull, and we're going to jump in, and they push the stock higher. That was the tradable wave. Well, here's the thing. Some of these stocks, in fact, you know, right now, especially anything with AI on the end of it, okay, that wave five, which is the final wave, got relabeled a three. And what that means is that pullback that we had that was labeled a four is now not an official four, because the extension is so far up that the pattern relabeled a three. Well, guess what? You now caught the longest, strongest wave. You may have caught it mid push, and now it's just shooting higher. And we are then waiting for that next pullback before retail jumps on and finally, you know, takes it to the top, and then the pattern corrects it. The pattern repeats, but to the downside, and it just does this over and over and over again. So, it's a fascinating study, and we have, you know, our software is some of the, you know, it's programmed to Elliott's own teachings. So, Mr. Elliott himself wrote in detail about his studies, and we have taken that and put it into the algorithms behind our charting package. So yeah, that's just one of many ways to, you know, look at a chart is that Elliott wave pattern.
True. Well, what caught my interest with it when I first heard of it, what I thought was really cool was how with each of the legs, there's the market psychology that's kind of explaining what we're seeing. And legs is a distinct thing going on. But they each have meaning. And like you were talking about, you know, yeah, the three is different from a five and all that kind of stuff. That's what I liked about it, was it's like, okay, I'm seeing this on a chart. Here's the context that gives it some, you know, makes sense.
Sure.
From an investing standpoint. And then this is one that I always stress with people when I'm working with them, is make sure you understand the premise of your strategy. But, you know, like an investment thesis, it's like, why do I think it's going to work? What do I think is going on that my actions are going to yield a profit?
Right.
And Elliott wave is like, one of the classic, really excellent cases of that, where it's like, yeah, it was a repeated phenomenon going on in the market, and then some understanding put into it, and it's like, yeah, it's actually cool, and it does work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so awesome.
It does. Yeah.
So you've had an entrepreneurial path. You had some tenure with different companies, but you've had an entrepreneurial path. So let's say you started the Sovereign Trading Group back when. What prompted that?
Well, Sovereign is just my consulting company, and that is the education arm of what I do. And it has been, you know, I formed that in the year 2000. But the, you know, hedge fund family that I began with that really gave me legs was a company called Lacerte Capital Advisors here in the Dallas, Texas area. And that we had an onshore, offshore hedge fund component that we managed for years. And, you know, we had and then we rolled out one of the hedge fund products into an actual mutual fund. And there were two of them. And one was a institutional version and the other was a retail version. So that's kind of the path after 2000 that began the series of investment companies that and registered investment advisories that I founded or started and either and managed or participated in.
Huh. Well, that's cool. Very cool. Well, so how'd you wind up speaking on the outlets like CNBC and stuff? That's not
well,
place. Not that many people do.
No, and that was you know, CNBC.com and some other nationally syndicated radio and programs back around in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. before podcasting became really a popular thing. It, you know, that was the early days, mm-hmm. and I essentially had we had a publicist that would seek opinion. You know, they different organizations would seek opinion with our publicist, and they would put me in front of them. But one thing that I learned is that I really was hesitant to talk my book. Because markets like to play with traders, and you've seen it over the years. I'm hesitant to name names, but there have been some prominent names on TV where they just, you know, the market just took them to task because they started talking their book too much and promoting, you know, what their positions were. And that, you know, I'm now an old trader, and I've learned a few things, and you know, talking your book is just not one of them. So,
Okay,
I can talk names and that sort of thing, but it you know, just you do it in a respectful manner. Not, you know, you're not there to boast and brag. That's just not.
Oh, yeah, true. Well, so now you've been trading options on stocks the entire time, or have you ventured over into like the options on futures and stuff like that too?
That's actually where I cut my teeth on options, was in the commodities market, because at the time I was working for Fidelity and we had very strict compliance regulations on what we could and could not do with stock, but we could do it in the commodity space because we did not offer commodities. That was not Fidelity's business. And so, there were basic things that I could then do in the stock market. And I had all this learning about options from different people and different mentors. And when I finally left Fidelity, then it was a breeze to switch over to stocks and ETFs, because that's where so much more liquidity and so much more product existed. And, you know, at the time, you know, the, you know, S&P, the Spider Index Trust had been created, and just the volume of options being traded there was just absolutely enormous. And it was, you know, the early days were exceptionally good because they hadn't quite become exactly that efficient yet. And there were still some opportunities to take advantage of.
Huh.
So,
yeah, I started with the options and the commodities myself. So, yeah. I just like the commodity markets because, to me, at least it's something tangible in the real world. To me, the stocks is so abstract and things, it's all based on confidence. And things can just change in a day.
Well, and you don't need to go down the list. It's not very long before you run into those companies like Enron and others that just were just not being truthful, you know, about their books, again, talking their book and just not being truthful about it. And we all know what happened in those, in the WorldCom, Enron, just the list is long. And it in the commodities market, it is different. But there are, it is very different trading there. You know, there are things you do need to be aware of. And it was surprising to me that for the first time ever on that March contract in crude oil a couple of years ago, we went below zero. So we got a below zero print. So who knew that you could actually go below zero in the commodities markets? So.
Well, all kinds of crazy stuff's gone on in this century. I mean, like negative interest rates and stuff. It's like, what? They're going to charge you to put your money in the bank? What? or vice versa? You're getting paid to take out a loan? What?
Yeah, but, you know, just knowing that if you're in an options position, what the risks are and about you, and it's rare, but it has happened. People taking delivery of different product when they didn't mean to.
True. And, true.
You know.
Huh. So I see that you're listed as, or one of your descriptors is, a delta neutral specialist. So how did that happen?
Well, that came from trading options and really realizing that there were certain strategies when you start learning about options and how they work and how the market makers were making money. Because I learned, and I didn't meet this guy until about 2000, but it was a former market maker from Chicago who actually, while I was losing my shirt in 1987, he made over $1 million that day.
Wow.
And I said, how did you do that? And so lessons like that, that you listen to and pay attention to, and then you just put the pieces together. I learned that, being delta neutral, which means, when you buy a share of stock, like one share of stock, you have one delta. So if you buy 100 shares of stock, you have 100 deltas. Okay, so everything has a delta to it, including options. And at the money call has a delta of 50, and at the money put has a delta of approximately 50. Okay, and then you go from there. And but what really got me was the time component, that these are wasting assets. They lose their value over time if they're out of the money. Now, when you're in the money, then you have what's called intrinsic value. You have real value to the option. But anything that's at or out of the money is really made of extrinsic value, meaning it's all based upon the time to expiration, the implied volatility, interest rates, and the approximate delta of the option. That's how they determine price. So lots of components, but that wastes away. Theta takes over and really controls a lot of the Greeks along the way. And so being delta neutral, then I could take a very boring stock, a stock that's just really a mature company. The stock really isn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I could actually make money and not worry about the stock jumping around all over the place. And I could make a heck of a return with the stock just not going anywhere. Yeah. And I started doing that over and over and over again. And believe it or not, in the early days of Apple, Apple was a great trade delta neutral wise. It traded in a $2 range for over 2 years between, wow, $13 and $15.
Okay.
And had thousands of options contracts traded on it every day. It was a great stock to trade. And then all of a sudden it took off and it became the stock that we know today. Okay. Yeah. But in the early days, it traded in a $2 range for quite a long while.
Now, as far as capitalizing on real stable, not moving stocks, I mean, the most common strategy, and this I've recommended, heck, I even recommended it to my mom at one point when she was still around, is covered calls. Now, you're not doing
Sure.
covered calls. You have more sophisticated strategies than that, right?
Right. Now, this is, think about what a covered call is. You buy stock, you own stock, and then you sell a call against it to bring in a little bit of income. Now, without getting too much in the weeds, if the stock is a dividend paying stock, you have to be careful with that comment. I'm taking in additional income above and beyond the dividend because the dividend has already been accounted for in that options price. Okay. But still, the principle is this: you're trying to derive a little bit of income to protect you a few points to the downside. If the stock begins to pull back, that short call that you sold loses money and you begin to profit because you can buy it back at a lower price later on. The problem is what if you, as an option trader, we model our trades so I can visually see my risk and my potential profit through modeling software. And if you draw out, if you've ever looked at a graph of what a covered call looks like, well, just think long stock that has a then a lid on it. And that's the short call. You can't make money above that short call. Okay. Ironically, a short put has the exact same risk graph. In other words, if you sell a put to open, it has the exact same risk graph. So it's amazing that brokers allow you to do covered calls, but they don't allow you to do naked puts. Because, it's the same risk graph. I mean, it's the same. So it's things like that that you learn about. And so delta neutral trading, to go back to that, is really a variety of strategies that help. You allow you to make money. Usually, all but two strategies, keeping it basic, all but two strategies allow you to make money with the stock staying in a range. The two strategies that don't allow you to make money are called a straddle and a strangle. Those you need the stock to move. You need the stock to break out, either violently up, violently down, it doesn't matter, but you need the stock to move. But everything else, calendar spreads, butterflies, iron condors, condors, et cetera, so on. These are all where you just need that stock to stay within certain ranges and you can then profit. So I became, I got a, this is how I got into teaching was I got a postcard in the mail. I think it was around 1997 or 96 or 97. And it, believe it or not, it said, be a better become a better delta neutral trader. And I thought, I can brush up on that. And I went, and at the seminar, it was all industry people. It was because nobody knew what that term meant. So I don't know how they got my address, but I mean, it was all industry folks. I met people from Goldman there. I met people from other big banks and big firms there. And
Well, you had your securities license.
they, I br was brushing up on, different strategies. And it that so I talked to the instructor afterwards. I said, oh yeah, I've been doing this stuff for a while, and here's kind of what I see and that sort of thing. And they were very, that's how that relationship began. About a year later, almost 2 years later, is when that the teaching began, because they knew that I really was doing what I was saying I was doing and really then beginning to manage money and that sort of thing. And that's when the teaching began. So
Very
I've
cool.
and I've taught or wrote publications about trading ever since. So over 23 years, 24, 25 years
Nice.
almost.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So how did you wind up at EWO Traders?
Well, that was again through a series of relationships. I've known the owners of EWO Trading for over a decade, and we hadn't really stayed in touch. And a colleague of mine here, actually, we were working together and our contract was coming to an end. And he, because I had gotten out of the of managing money, I shut down my last RIA in around 2017 or 18. I was a little bit frustrated with the industry at the time, and so through that relationship, I got referred back to the owners of EWO Trading and Hub Corporation, and we reconnected, and we just talked about a couple things that we might be able to do together, and you know, here we are today. So it's just a continuation of you know, something I've loved doing for over 20 years.
Yeah, that's very cool. Now, over the EWO Trader, now you guys have different strategies on your site. You got the impulse strategy, the volatility time strategy, delta neutral income, and delta neutral breakout.
Right.
So those are your courses. Now, do you guys operate primarily through the courses, or do you also have other coaching or newsletters or whatever that you do?
So those are essentially the newsletters. Those are different strategies that that we you know, kind of hypothetical trading that we do for individuals. So my my colleague Rob Roy and I work together on these strategies. I focus on the delta neutral income and the delta neutral breakout. Rob has the other three, and you know, we essentially push out hypothetical trade examples to our customers and say, hey, we're looking at X, you know, this trade today, and you know, here's how we would do it and that sort of thing. And that newsletter is then sent out to people around the world. And so the track record for each publication is on the website, and we've been doing it for a long, long time. So
now, are most of these that you guys teach and service, are they pretty much all option selling strategies, or do you have a mix?
They are. They are for right now. There is they're all options based, so we're really options focused. But I think one unique thing is that sets us apart is that on one of the strategies is AI based. Okay. And we are one of the first firms to incorporate AI into our trading. So that research with our, you know, kind of our programmers has been an ongoing effort. And it's not to create a widget that is just going to disappear after a few years, you know. The purpose of doing some of these strategies and then reinforcing them maybe with a technology background is to make them last for years.
Right.
Okay. So a good example of that is in, for example, in the delta neutral income portfolio, one of the strategies that's traded a lot is calendar spreads. Yeah. And I have worked for years on a formula on finding and creating searches for stocks that have good options set up for good calendar spreads. And that now has been consistent for years and years and years. And that's kind of the name of the game. I've seen just too many loud yelling from the rafters, people that say, you know, my new trading algorithm is doing X, and then they disappear after a very short period of time. And my, you know, our goal and my goal is to be around for, you know, for the duration. I've been in the industry all my life. I will be for all my life. It's something that I love doing, and looking at charts and looking at the industry. It's just something that I've loved doing since I started trading. So, and we're, you know, always bringing that to our customer base after thorough research and evaluation and testing, and then we roll these things out to our customer base. So that's kind of the basis behind those.
Cool. Well, if you can, maybe you're not a programmer, but how do you distinguish between AI and algorithmic trading, with algorithms having been around for a while?
Well, there's probably some similarities. AI just makes it a little easier because of the amount of data that goes into that AI algorithm. The computing power that it takes to generate some of that is just enormous. Sure. And programming language is, I'm not a programmer, but I've seen some of the coding, and it's just like, you just stare at it in disbelief going, really? Okay, let me see the results, and let's look at results. And you have to be careful with curve fitting, because curve fitting eventually gets defeated.
Sure.
And so you there's all sorts of different scenarios that we have to test out. And now with the computing power, where it is, it makes it a lot easier and a lot faster. So I think it's the next stage of that algorithmic trading.
Yeah.
Okay. The AI.
Very cool. Very cool. So if somebody is curious, that they want to come, they like what you guys are doing, and they want to come and, learn from you, work with you. Best way to do that is just come to the Ewo Trader. Do you have like a newsletter they would sign up with, or do you recommend that they, like I said, how's it work when somebody's coming to work with you?
Well, people can definitely go to ewotrader.com and, look around the site. And, we have a contact form there, that you can, we also have a phone number. So, if you're interested in working with us, that's accountservices@ewotrader.com.
Okay.
That's accountservices@ewotrader.com, or our phone number. And we do, take calls, and that number is 312-637-2249.
Cool. Yeah, I'll make sure that's in the show notes as well. Okay. Very cool. Now, do you guys also operate? Yeah, you're on the social channels, Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. So what do you have a preference as far as where you guys like to focus most of your efforts on the social media channels?
We do a lot. Yeah. We do shows out on YouTube and other social channels. We push them out. We have shows that are open to the public on Monday. I do one on Wednesdays that gets posted. And actually, we've revamped it, and we start tomorrow on a new show. And then we do a lot for our members on Thursday nights. We do an insiders meeting. So really, during the week, there is probably right now 6 to 8 shows that go on that are anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. Thursday nights, we do go about an hour and a half with our insiders. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's lots that we offer. It's not a sign up and then all of a sudden you get a what do I do next? On our alert service, the strategies that you mentioned, like delta neutral breakout or delta neutral income, literally the day you sign up, you could be getting an alert if there is an alert that is being posted. And we send those out via SMS and email simultaneously. Gotcha. So again, technology is amazing. When I first started writing publications, back in the early 2000s, it was done. I wrote them on Sunday night. They were pushed Monday morning, and it was sent an email, and it was just done as an attachment. Yeah. And now we have SMS alerts and simultaneous emails and all the tech. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. Great stuff.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you guys got some good stuff going on. You take good care of your customers. I know prior to our conversation here, we hadn't really met before, but you came through a really good recommendation. So And it sounds like you guys have some cool stuff going on. So yeah, I'm glad that you're able to do this today. I normally don't talk that much in the option space, just because unfortunately that's the favorite space for so many of the scammers and people who don't trade.
You know, I find that interesting. And for those that don't trade options in your audience, there are a couple of our publications, one being Delta Neutral Breakout, that we don't do any types of spreads in. We just do long calls and long puts in our Delta Neutral Breakout. And it specifically focuses around earnings events. So earnings are a quarterly cycle. And so it's kind of a light load of trading until we get into that earnings cycle. And then there's usually a lot of alerts. But yeah, you're right. Over the years, at least from where I sit, we have moved away from the ne'er-do-wells in the option space that are the scammers, because there's so much information that has come out through legitimate services. And that's free, that people now can see behind that, this is a scam or this isn't real. And for us, we post all our results on our website. You can see our win-loss ratio, our returns, everything. And I've always taken policy that, my returns are public. As a hedge fund manager, they were public. As a mutual fund manager, they were public. Why wouldn't they be as an alert service writer, pushing trade alerts out to folks? We need to publish those results and we make them available to everybody. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, let's go ahead and wrap things up. But you got any last words of wisdom for everybody?
I think one of the things that I notice even till today through today is that people tend to trade too big. And money management is one of those things that's very difficult to talk about. It's easy to talk about, but to get people to listen and to pay attention to is a different ballgame, because it's the eating your vegetable part of trading. and there some colleagues of mine came up with the saying, trade small, trade often. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely right. It couldn't be said in fewer words better. Okay. I think people trade too big. If you are up at night thinking about your position, you are trading way too big and you need to trade smaller. And if you're not making enough money, then trade more, not less. You trade small, but trade more positions, more regularity, get into that rhythm. Mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing. People just trade too big and they just need to, just tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, good advice. Good advice. Very cool. Well, again, thanks for being here. And everybody that's listening, I applaud you for, taking the time out of your day to attend the podcast and not just, be looking at strategies and, the guys on YouTube with the Lambos and the big estates saying, they turn $100 into 10 grand a day. Nonsense. You're actually wanting to learn and develop as a trader. So applaud you for that. And if you like what, Jeff's got to say here today and you got an interest in, options, if you haven't already been looking at, or if you already are an options trader, go ahead and swing by EWO Trader. That's EWOTrader.com. And you can take a look at what they got on their site. They got links to their social channels. So they're on YouTube and elsewhere as well. And go ahead and, act on what you learned today. If you like it and your trading could be better, act on what you learned today or, heard today. Don't just say, oh, that was cool. And then, have it disappear and, you don't get anything out of this. Go ahead and act on it. So, And Jeff, again, thanks for taking time out of the day to do this. And, appreciate you sharing your knowledge and perspectives. And it's been enjoyable, too. So
thanks, Brian. I enjoyed being here with you. And thanks for the invite. I appreciate it.
Yeah, indeed. Well, everybody, if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure you subscribe, share it with your friends. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. Cheers. Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. Make sure to swing by insideouttrading.com and pick up your free copy of Break the Cycle, 10 things you can do to stop reinforcing the past and get your trading on the right track. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.